ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete. And that is Boothman Prime!
Boothman Prime!
Guys, very exciting. Boothman. Yeah, just like DC is alternating their comic books, we're also going to be alternating Boothman.
Yeah, we have a Boothman rebirth. Yeah. Which is like
that. So it's going to be super confusing.
It's going to be very confusing. We're going to use a lot of names that don't make sense.
Yeah, but Boothman Prime over there. Boothman Prime, anything you want to tell us about yourself? Superpowers, anything like that?
Weaknesses.
Favorite movie that you saw lately?
Oh man, I'm one of those Easy. Guys that has defended Batman versus Superman, unfortunately.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah, get out, I know.
Oh wow. Alex just left the stage. I've never seen him. That was like a soccer hooligan running out of here.
What a psychopath. Well, that's classic. A tough start, Boothman Prime.
Yeah, I apologize.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what are you gonna do?
You know,
people like
do?
Weird well, stuff.
So your only thing is supporting Batman Superman.
I just feel like it's gotten a lot more shit than it deserves.
You've gotten a lot more shit than you deserve.
There we go. We're
interesting. Come
we're off to a good start.
Yeah, welcome back.
Oh, no, thank you.
Yeah.
What a theatrical movie you just did.
Yes, I did a very theatrical move. Anyway, we're very excited to have you here. Yep. I apologize for abusing you right off. You're a wonderful human being.
But Batman Superman.
Yeah, is a bad movie. So there you go.
Made some bad choices already.
But do you know what's not bad is our two guests.
Yeah, two
of our favorite guests out on the show.
Guests.
They have a new comic book that's coming out based on the Assassin's Creed video game series called Templars. Ladies and gentlemen, Fred Van Lente and Dennis Calero.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Wow.
Hi, guys, thank you so much for coming on the show.
What's up, bitches?
Okay, new catchphrase from Dennis. Very similar to your old one.
It's the 90s.
Was suck it, bitches, if I remember correctly.
It's the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So you guys are working together on...
Wait, I have to know. Are you drinking pineapple soda? What is that?
Yeah, I just love a good pine soda to kick off.
I love pineapple soda. Jupinha? Jupinha, anybody?
This is a beer. This is what's called a
You're
beer.
Supposed to get me a wine.
I was supposed to get you a wine?
Well, I asked you very politely for one.
We've actually changed. We don't have wine at this. It's just beer here. So we
this is the swill of the masses.
The vintner is out today. Please make a suggestion which cask we should open up.
This is
Alcoholics Live, everybody.
And the exciting news is you just turned 21, which is why you're having a beer.
Yes, exactly.
Happy birthday.
What a time to be 21. I feel great.
Yes. Let's talk about comic books, you guys.
Oh, so why not?
You started working on a new book. What's the exact title? Because it's not Assassin's Creed Templars. It's
so complicated.
It is Assassin's Creed colon Templars.
Woo!
Oh, it is. Can I get a woo?
I think.
No. No, it's Jesus an Assassin's Christ, Creed series. Up. Templars.
Yes. Let's see what the little type says.
Ooh, read the fine print.
Oh, no, you're right. It's the official title is Templars colon Black Cross, so I didn't even know that. Okay.
Huh, there we go.
This is very complicated.
What I said.
English.
I'm scared to ask you what the book's about, then.
Yeah. Well, you know those marketing people.
Cunningly disguised in the title is the fact that it's an Assassin's Creed series.
Oh, there you go.
And I don't know if anybody here plays the Assassin's Creed video games, which are a lot of fun.
Where's my guy? Right there.
Kind
I see
historical
you.
Historical fiction. They cut back and forth between old timey times and present day.
Old timey times. you see, I'm going to stab you in the bread basket.
Yes, our book is specifically about the Templars, who are the quote-unquote bad guys of the Assassins. They're sort of this Illuminati group that's running the world that the Assassins are trying to defeat. But really, we feel like the Templars are just misunderstood.
Yeah.
They're running the world.
Oh. They're the good guys.
And the main character, if you can see in the little type there,
come
the
on.
Cover, is the sort of most feared agent of the Templars, who's called the Black Cross.
Gotcha. Now, you touched
he's
on this
a
little
the
bit.
He's Necros of the Templars.
What?
He's the Necros from the villain from Living Daylights. He's the bad guy.
Wow,
equivalent of that.
Oh, sorry, God. I'm 21. I'm only 21.
Got the and pineapple juice in the first.
Yeah, exactly. This is are you right. trying to win Prime some Calero. Weird bingo match?
The best James Bond, right there.
The Living Daylights is the best James Bond.
Timothy Dalton is the best James Bond. Absolutely.
No
Not necessarily the best James Bond movies, but the best James Bond. Absolutely.
When you're putting together a book like
let's move on, shall
based
we?
Based on a video game series, do you have to play a lot of video games as research?
This is rare for me because I actually am writing something that I was previously a huge fan of. So I'd already played many of the games beforehand.
What was our favorite? Black Sails?
Black Cross.
Black Cross. Yeah, no, the pirate one.
Flag. Black Flag.
Black Flag.
Black Flag.
It sounds like you're a really big fan.
It's the one with the cockroaches.
You mentioned this. That's the Black Sails is the Stars pirate TV show.
Yeah, right.
So
great.
There's a lot of pirates going on there.
It's the one with the cockroaches.
Short-circuited me.
This is, I'm sure, something that comes up with any licensed property, but when you're doing something like this, it's, I imagine, any story element needs to be vetted.
Yes.
Technical turn out the wazoo.
Yes.
Right.
In fact, it needs to be vetted so thoroughly, we have regular conference calls. It's four nations are involved in the conference call.
Holy
Ubisoft
shit.
Is a French company. The Assassin's Creed license is run out of Montreal, Quebec. And Titan, our publisher, is in London.
That's four.
Oh my God!
And you have an American creative team. So
that's five.
It's an exciting international.
How many translators is there? Because I mean, French Canadian.
We just speak like this, and then they understand us.
For me, all the meetings are conducted in English.
Oh, okay,
good.
A language I barely speak, but it is the only one.
Well, what about from the artistic perspective? Have you had to vet most of the designs of the characters by the company as well?
Yes.
A lot?
Ubisoft, it's very interesting because...
Now, I feel like you're about to say something that might get you fired. Yeah. So don't...
And no. We should mention, Dennis very drunk before the show, so...
On pineapple juice.
This guy
loves so much
vitamin C. This is basically we're leading him into a trap.
It is very interesting in the sense that we have different cultural viewpoints in certain topics, so that we have to explain that we have to have things certain ways for a comic book in the United States versus one in the UK versus one in Canada. And so that actually is a very interesting challenge to sort of figure all of that out and parse it all out so that everyone will love us at all times.
Interesting.
Wow.
I'm trying to think of what is something in like France say that we wouldn't tolerate. Like, would we wouldn't be like, oh, I get that.
Well, you know what?
Sandals and shorts.
I guess is that
they don't go for that.
They have no idea.
I don't think it's a bad thing to say that we have sort of a different. In America, we have a very specific sort of viewpoint on racial relations and on how we want to deal with that and the ramifications in society, and also a point of view on history. Other cultures that are more, is the word homogeneous?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have a sort of different point of view. And so we have to explain that we have a more mixed palate and that that may affect the impression that you, as you drink your beer, as U.S. readers.
You're just taunting him.
I don't know why.
Can you just go get him a wine, please? Jesus Christ, Justin.
A local wine shop. I need a bottle of wine for a guest who's talking about race relations.
Yes.
Menashevitz, please.
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
Here's my driver's license. I turned 21 today.
He doesn't want red or white. Mix them. I don't know. We're confused over there.
Make a blush.
It is interesting in the sense that when you work with other companies, most of the time that there are characters that are pre-established, Spider-Man, what have you, and you generally know what you're working with. This is a character that Fred basically generated on his own with their guidance, and then I was asked to interpret, and then not interpret, and then reinterpret.
There was much interpreting.
Of interpreting.
But I mean, partially that was because we got lucky and Ubisoft really loved the character. So they've been really behind this series in a big way.
No, Ubisoft has been very supportive, and I can't argue that.
Is this the sort of thing that it'll weave back into the video games at some point?
Yes.
Oh,
in fact,
cool.
We're actually resolving one of the major storylines from the video game in the Templar series.
Oh, okay.
It'll become more and more obvious as the series goes along.
I wasn't aware of it. I'm not as much of a video gamer as I'm sure some of your other viewers. There was a very, you know, there's a very interesting, they're approaching this as a shared universe very much in line of like MCU or DC Comics. But in some ways it's much more pervasive because they have millions upon millions of players all over the world, heavily invested in this milieu, so to speak. Ooh. And thank you.
That's very good. The
movie is coming out next fall with Fassbender.
Yeah, did you have to run it by him? Did you have to run it by Fassbender?
By Fassbender?
Yes.
He did. We did.
He said, you guys are amazing.
He sent you a lot of photos to draw from.
Yeah. And, very sexy photos. Inappropriate. Like, don't text me this.
They're very serious about the shared universe thing, so much so that the movie and the comics and the video games and the young adult novel series, which is coming out shortly, and all the prose novels that come up until this point, it's all one continuity. It's not like... Wow. You know,
they're very...
There's the MCU and the Marvel Universe and the cartoon universe and all that stuff. This is all one giant tapestry.
Yeah, they're not playing around.
Yeah. So it's intense. It can be intense. The conference calls can get intense. Yeah.
Well, wow. on the other side, you guys have both worked on really big properties for different publishers.
The biggest.
What?
Yep. Yeah. Like that. What?
Yeah. You did that big comic about Google, right?
That's right.
What?
Huh?
Yeah.
That's a big property. Oh, yeah. No, that's a big property.
Google man.
That's number one on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
I know everything.
Yeah. But... Is from the fan perspective, have you had any interaction with the Assassin's Creed fans?
Oh, yeah.
Are they palpably different in any way from the comic book fans?
Not from my point of view. What do you think, Fred?
No, I don't think so. We did New York Comic Con last fall when the book was announced, and there was the Assassin's Creed comics panel, and I was like, "What is this con going to be? What is this panel going to be like?" And the panel was just packed. To wall.
Well, literally wall to wall because they're doing parkour, right?
That's right. That's right. Some people were hanging from the lights and the ceiling and stuff.
We did parkour on the way up to the podium. We were just like we're doing turns and hurting our muscles. It was great. It was fantastic.
Great understanding of French culture.
It was like 2005 all over again. It was amazing.
Don't.
Oh, boy. This is going to be a mess.
Protect your beer.
Oh, okay.
That is not what parkour is.
If you're, we should just mention
it was great. It was great.
Remember, Dennis, we're trying to sell the book.
Yeah. Yeah, we should say to those
action like that will be in the book.
Those of you listening at home, Dennis actually just jumped in the air, bounced off several walls, and he's gone now.
And he's vanished.
And stabbed a guy with two blades he had. Yeah.
We probably
wrist.
Won't hear from him for 4 minutes or so. That's how far he went.
If you give me a beer.
He's clearly going in search of some sort of wine.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed, winos.
Yeah.
But what about you guys working together? I mean, you've worked together before, so how is...
What?
How is
I'm not here.
Nothing.
What?
Go ahead, Fred, I'm not here.
Oh, you're not here.
3 more minutes.
How has the relationship developed? What's the back and forth like, particularly on this book?
It's been great. You know, Dennis and I are buddies outside of comics. We became good friends working on X-Men Noir for Marvel, and so we've been friends ever since. And I think this is the first time we've actually worked together since then.
Yeah.
But, you know, we exchange texts and phone calls, and it's a very close, you know. I prefer that. I prefer artists who are like, I don't understand this, or let's talk about this.
Yeah,
let's do this
like
a different way.
In the morning, like, what the fuck is this about?
Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of swearing.
And so it's super awesome.
You piece of shit.
Yeah.
Cool. What else are you guys working on? You always have a lot of projects.
Piece of shit, the movie.
Piece of shit, nice. The movie. That's great. I'm very excited for that.
Cool.
Fassbender's in that, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Alex, how dare
you? He plays the shit.
He does. Dennis, what else are you working on?
I'm working on an Amazon project called Reliquary, which is written by Alex DeCampi, who is absolutely brilliant, and that's wonderful. Thank you. That's about it. And then some storyboards, and I'm actually... A novel that I wrote is being adapted by the producer of Theory of Everything into a film. And so we're kind of working on that for a while. We're hoping to pitch to some people very soon. But she's absolutely wonderful to work with, and I'm learning a lot. And I'm working on raising a daughter who is a good citizen.
Nice.
Thank you.
Good cool.
Citizen. Why do you wince at that? I want to raise
you got political all of a sudden.
A productive member of society.
No, it just sounded very Chairman Mao of you. That's all.
Yeah. Exactly.
Fred, what about you? What are you working on right now?
Doing lots of fun stuff, staying off the streets. I'm wrapping up Conan the Avenger. The Woo! Series is ending soon, and then Colin Brunn is going to come on and do a new Conan series, which is super awesome. Wrapping up Big Trouble in Little China for Boom.
Nice,
super awesome, fun series to work on. And I'm most excited about my creator-owned book that's coming out in June called Weird Detective, that is sort of an H.P. Lovecraft Cthulhu Mythos mystery series, and that's listening now. So
you're second excited to that next to Templars.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Cool.
Great. And son of a bitch. Are you guys ever going to do another action blank series again at any point?
Yes. We're working very hard on Action Presidents.
Okay.
Which is going to be a book series from HarperCollins. We have a 4-book deal.
It's a major deal.
The first 2 books come out at the same time next summer, and that's Lincoln and Washington. And we are busting ass.
Lesser known presidents.
Yeah. Yes.
And you're working on Trump now, obviously.
Well, sure.
Getting a head start on President Trump.
That's just 500 pages of nuclear explosions. Just, Panama, Cuba, blown up.
Save it for your daughter.
Thank you.
Cool, very cool. And we're Assassin's Creed Templar. The first issue's already
out last week, two weeks ago.
So check that out.
It's an ongoing. Check it out, please. Thank you.
All right, awesome.
I have some copies for the audience.
For you guys.
So stick around to the end.
Yeah.
Including a blank cover that I can draw on for one of you lovely people.
There you go. All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
All right.
Woo! And in the stack, we're going to talk about some books that we particularly like this week, good or bad for them. Let's kick it off with Beat's pick, which is Four Eyes, Hearts of Fire, number 3.
Yeah!
Woohoo!
From Image Comics.
Yeah!
Pete, you want to talk about this and say something palpably different from what you said about the past 2 issues as well as the previous series?
What a request.
Joe Kelly is an amazing writer.
God damn you, Pete.
Heard it verbatim, word for word.
This is a fun story about maybe fun's not a good word, but it's a story about a kid dealing with growing up in Depression era kind of tough times.
Yeah, dragon times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's trying to not only balance home life, but also raising a dragon, which is tough.
Depression was hard for everybody.
Particularly
the dragons.
Yeah. And Four Eyes is the name of his dragon, and he has his first dragon fight in this issue, and I don't know how it's going to go. Kind of leaves you a cliffhanger.
It's not going well.
That's true. It's not. But I have high hopes.
What do you think about this book, Justin?
Excuse me. I like this book a lot. Four Eyes is the dragon is blind.
Right.
Which is very hard.
When you have four eyes.
He's called Four Eyes, so the fact that he has zero eyes is like, it's like doubly hard.
It'd be nice if one of them worked.
One of them should work. Yeah. But the art's very very unique. You really get a feel for this era through the art.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of information in this issue especially. But it builds to a nice end where you see this like massive, terrifying dragon show up that Four Eyes has to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing. I mean, this is getting a little ahead to talk about the next issue. But you expect story that the dragon has basically no eyes. They're going to train him. They're so down. Eventually, they're going to come back and win over this big dragon. Right. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if that's what this story is really about, which makes it very sad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do deal with a lot of sad stuff in this. I mean, the father figure in this issue beats him and his mom. There's a lot of tough race stuff in here. I mean, Joe Kelly is really trying to say a lot of things in this book, and it's very powerful and really well done.
Who would have thought a book set in the Depression would be depressing?
Huh.
Yeah.
Who would have thought, indeed. All right, let's move on to another depressing book. Let's talk about your pick, Justin, Black Science, number 21.
Yeah. It's a great book.
Right.
What a beautiful book.
Rick Remender's been writing this book for a long time. He, I guess about maybe 9 months, a year ago, gave up all of his Marvel books and is only focusing on his creator-owned books. And I really feel like you can feel it and see it in the way his books have moved in the last year. I don't know how you feel about that.
In what sense?
I feel like his storytelling has, it feels like it's really expanded. Like you feel like he has a vision for years of these books, and he's giving you like little bits and pieces. It's written very confidently, I feel like. And this book is about a team of scientists that start hopping dimensions, and a bunch of bad things happen. There's a family involved. There's an affair. This last arc, God World, has been about the father, who's the sort of lead scientist on the project. He's all by himself, loses touch with his family, and now he's going to get them back. Really cool.
This might be one of my favorite issues of this series, I think.
Definitely, yeah.
Because it's so focused. Something that has been missing in the series, it's all over the place. There's all these insane, crazy ideas that keep getting thrown at you almost nonstop to the point that it's very hard to focus on any particular one thing. They're all exciting. They're all good. But you don't have that emotional focus that this issue does because you have, one, the main character, Grant, going up against one of his nemeses, or eventually his nemeses, I guess.
It's the woman that he had an affair with that sort of shattered his family, and she is.
And this just focuses really nicely on the multiverse, alternate universe idea. It focuses very much on his revenge against her, and it's a heartbreaking but beautiful issue.
It ends really strongly. And I think of what you're saying, though, like there is, since he gave up his other more mainstream work, there is more focus on the individual issues. And I think that's where, when you're not doing 10 projects, you can really invest in, like, I need to get every detail right.
The quality has really gone up?
I do think that, yeah.
I think you're right. I haven't really thought about that, but we were talking a couple of weeks ago about Deadly Class.
The beer looks really good.
What?
The beer looks really good.
Yeah,
the beer.
The beer.
Well, if you're willing to take a step back to having a beer, we can probably make that happen.
That sounds good.
Let me talk to some of the associates here, and we'll see what we can do.
Cool.
We usually don't take drink orders until the third act of the show.
Yeah. Right.
But
we'll see what happens. But Deadly Class, we were talking about. The basic idea was, hey, there's this assassin school that everybody's enrolling in. It's set during the 80s, so that's a backdrop. But almost immediately after, I think the first or second issue, they're like, we're leaving the school. And they just went around and did a bunch of other things for about 11 issues, and then finally got back to the school in the last arc. And again, to your point, it got so much more focused right there.
Yeah.
So I think you're right.
I would like to point out the art in this book is amazing.
Yeah, it's
I like to specifically see the color work in this book. The pencil is wonderful, the artist is wonderful, but the color work is absolutely top-notch and really elevates the entire project.
Really brings it to life.
Yeah. Marino Denisio.
Nice.
Is the colorist. There
it's a sexy name.
All right.
Hello.
I worked with him. He is terrific.
There you go.
Nice.
Cool. Last one. This is my pick. Power Lines, number one, also from Image Comics. Mm-hmm. So this is an interesting book. It's by Jimmy Robinson. I didn't know exactly what to expect going into it. But basically you have the setup is that there are these power lines that used to exist in America, were used by the Native Americans hundreds of years ago. It's very briefly set up in one page. And now the power lines are coming back again. And it first manifests itself in a gang kid who wants to be a little something more. He gets some powers trying to escape from the cops. Then there's a racist lady who's trying to track him down. She ends up getting some powers. And then the third thing is a Native American who also has these powers that set up that the three of them are all going to have these powers. It's an interesting setup. I thought what was most fascinating about it was using these superpowers to say a lot about race relations in America. And it's very much just a start in this first issue, but I was kind of fascinated to see where it's going.
Yeah, it feels very strongly like, what if these people had superpowers in the same neighborhood?
Yeah.
So it's very pointed. I'll be interesting to see what the second arc of this issue is like, where it's like, wow, I guess the racist lady and the non-white person really talked about it. Then what happened? Like, what's the next move after that?
Do you feel it's like a little pandering, maybe?
Oh, not even. Pandering's not the right word. I feel like it's just, it's so like appointed at one like story, one idea. So I can't imagine in an ongoing title how that's going to.
It would have to blend into an actual narrative.
Or just get into the characters, because the characters are presented as sort of, archetypes. It's not really stereotypes. It's more like, oh, that person is this, that person's this. And it's, I mean, people are opening beers all around this room.
I feel like
taunting me.
I do like the setup of it, of like they did a great job of setting up this thing of like, this has been happening for a really long time. And thank you very much for getting
the best, Jordan the D. best White, man and also ever. Bartender, ladies and gentlemen. Bringing beers for Dennis and Fred.
Just another title for Jordan D. White in the
Human Saint Bernard.
Comic Book Club universe.
Thank you.
Sorry, Pete.
Yeah.
No, Pork Slap is the greatest.
This episode
is brought to you by Pork Slap.
I just feel like it does a great job of setting up this world, like this bigger idea of like, this has been going on for a really long time, and this time period, these people had the powers, and over time it changes who has powers. But there is this thing of like, what if these really different fucked up people had the powers? But I think it is because of the beginning, he's setting up a bigger thing of like what we're going to do with it. But I do like the fact of like, okay, you know, race is really a fucked up issue. Let's not pull punches. Let's not have it be an easy thing. Yeah. Let's
But these the characters, they're defining qualities. Well, especially
we don't know yet.
Specifically the mom who's just like, like five of her lines are racist.
Oh, no.
So it's like, yo, we get it. That woman is racist. Yeah, yeah. So like, we I just don't know what the next thing. It's like if a comic was written about you and I, and it was like, which one of these two is the angry one?
Yeah.
Like we would get it. We would get it.
Right,
and it's like, you don't need to say it's
called
so
angry.
I'm more
racist
than just an
together
angry
again.
Guy.
I know. And you if know only I mean? You would show that side of your personality
fuck
to anyone.
You, man.
Exactly.
This book is great. I really want to read the second issue.
Tune in next time.
Well,
Power
Anderson's
Couch.
The great, because delightful. He's been doing comics for like 20 years. He's one of the great, great unsung creators. I think somebody who definitely deserves a
someone should sing
following.
About him.
Yeah, I like,
definitely should be
I don't
sung
know.
About.
I agree with what you're saying, Jess.
What?
Thank you.
What?
What?
If he's unsung, he should be sung about.
Oh, we should sing about him.
Yeah. Just go on with it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I agree with what you're saying. Absolutely. Like, I totally understand what you're saying. Yeah. But it's a pilot, right? It's a first issue. So it is going to be in the execution to see where it goes. And I like the idea of we've had decades of comics talking about racism through superpowers with X-Men and other characters, but really just smack dab putting
Powder
it on the surface
girls.
And being blunt about that, I think is kind of cool.
No, totally. Like, that's why I actually like the issue. I'm just saying. I'm curious to see where these characters develop because it's
I think it's they're all going to learn an important lesson about love and each other. I don't think so.
Probably not.
I think it's a fair criticism to say that in a first issue the characters don't feel fully realized; they feel more representational. But also, characters in the first story, especially in a serial story, are often broad strokes. And you're trying to basically say, this is this guy, that's that guy, and it's recognizable archetypes, and then get into the sort of minor notes as you go on. But it's a difficult challenge, absolutely.
All right, very cool. And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right, guys, it's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
And for that, I'm going to come out to you guys. So here's how it works. Woo! Come up with a question for Fred, who I'm trying to trip. Come up with a question for one of our wonderful guests. Come up with a question generally for the panel. You're going to get some free comics and posters. Poster for Mod Hero, which is very nice. So there you go. It can be about literally anything. Just raise your hand, ask a question. You're going to go home with some free stuff. Any beer out there? You, sir, right there. Why don't you come on up? I saw your hand first.
Nice. Great.
And this only stretches so far. So there we go. All right. What's your name and what's your question?
My name's EJ. And first...
Hi, EJ.
EJ. I actually saw you guys at NYCC.
What?
Nice.
Yep.
Cool.
Well, not like in person. We didn't meet in person. It would have been nice, but
all right, don't get weird.
Meeting now.
I was wondering, are we going to see any actual characters from the video game showing up at any time, encountering the Black Cross or anything like that?
Yes.
Nice.
All right, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Very short answer from Mr.
Can you tell us which ones?
No, they'd probably not like that, but yeah. The story is set in Shanghai in the 20s at the beginning of the Chinese Civil War, but we will not necessarily stay there.
Interesting.
Ooh, that was a hint? That was kind
sort of. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was a strong hint if you go by hints.
Cool. All right, there you go. Good question. You get some free comics. Let's get the next question. Anybody? You, sir, right there. Come on down. All right.
Yeah.
There you go. I have no idea who you are, but you're probably going to be some question about your children or something like that.
I'm an excellent parent.
My name is Jason, by the way.
Hey, Jason. Hi, Jason.
I had a question. So between, the video game, also you've done Conan, and Big Trouble in Little China. Is there any other, movie property or video game property that you'd like to develop into a book?
I would kill to do Fallout.
Yeah. Oh,
and I actually talked to the guys at Dark Horse about that, but the problem with Fallout is that Bethesda is very stingy with the license, so I don't think they've actually allowed anyone to do any Fallout comics, but I would be absolutely on. That is my all-time favorite game franchise, and I would totally love to do it.
I've never played it.
So how does
thank
that
you.
Cool.
cool.
Thanks.
I'm curious about that. I mean, normally, as far as I know, there's some sort of high-end deal that happens with the company, between companies, and then they reach out to a writer, talk to them. But is that the sort of thing where you could say, hey, Dark Horse, I have a relationship with you. Could you reach out to Bethesda and see if they'd be interested in doing a Fallout book?
Well, specifically Fallout, I mean, Dark Horse does, they've done the EV Online. They currently have the Halo license. They've got they've done Mass Effect comics. So they've done a lot of video games. And I actually asked them, I think they brought it up on their own when I went out there to visit the offices. Dave Marshall, an editor-in-chief, told me that they've tried to get the Fallout license, but they've been told the Fallout license is not available to anyone.
Wow.
It's just because that's how tight, you know, they want to keep the mythology. And a lot of it is, you know, is the creative team at the studio doesn't particularly want to let other people play in their sandbox, which is, they own it. That's perfectly, you know,
right,
within their rights.
Gotcha. Cool.
Those all bastards.
Right. Great. Let's get another question. You, sir, right there. Come on up. What's your name and what's your question?
I'm Kurt.
Hi, hey, Kurt.
Regarding the Action Presidents, which I'm looking forward to, obviously, I vote for Cerebus for Dictator.
Excellent.
My T-shirt. So obviously, is there a fictional character that you guys would prefer to have run America?
Ruin America?
No.
Run.
Oh, okay.
Run America. We got the ruiner.
Yeah, we're good on the ruin thing.
Yeah.
That's cool. A great question. Which fictional character?
A comic book character or all of fiction?
All of fiction.
Oh, wow.
Harry Potter.
I knew that was, that's a real go-to for Alex. Yeah.
Cypher.
I don't know. He wouldn't be a great...
What about Cypher,
though? I don't know if Harry Potter would be a great president.
My go-to actually is Cypher, and he knows so many languages, he'd be, at the very least, a great diplomat.
It would be fun to have, like, one of the famous, like, super logical androids, like the Vision or Data, attempt to run the United States government, because then we could start betting about how long it would take them to break down and lose their minds.
Yeah.
It would be fun to see a super efficient, logical character try and wrap their brains around that.
I don't know if you guys read Invincible, but they have that as part of the ongoing arc in Invincible right now is Robot, who is the insanely smart, super intelligent character, takes over the world, kills a bunch of heroes in the process, but they're like, okay, we're going to fight back at you. And then when they actually look at the world, crime is way down, everything's running more efficiently, nobody's hungry anymore or anything like that. They're like, oh, all right. I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Alex, that's in the comic book. Kurt was asking about real life. Yeah.
Oh, right, real life.
Yeah.
Harry Potter!
I would vote for Papa Smurf.
Papa Smurf.
He would run everything, and everything would be gentle and compassionate and just sweet, and we'd all go back to like 14th century France in the forest.
I don't know. I feel like Papa Smurf would only hold up the patriarchy.
Pro-choice.
Yeah.
isn't Loki about to run for president?
Let's build
his
a
cabinet
wall
only has
Mexico.
One female member
yeah,
in
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Well, he doesn't understand women for sure.
We only have one female.
So there's only one of them. How could he?
I would say Buffy. Buffy would be my person.
Buffy. The
she
wants
to stab yeah. everybody.
She would
is
be
that
the,
bad?
She would be the president?
Yes. Yeah.
She
really?
Would
why what? Buffy?
I think she's a great leader. She's not afraid to get her hands dirty. She's smart.
She's hot.
Okay.
Interesting.
She's attractive for a cartoon.
Of all of the things you could have picked, you picked Buffy.
Wait,
what Buffy?
For a cartoon?
What? Which Buffy are you talking about?
Which Buffy?
Well, I'm saying, you know, in the comic books and also in
the TV show.
TV.
Yeah, she was a real person in the TV show.
Well, then
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
No, he's saying she was written as a little cartoonishly.
Oh.
If I may interpret.
Yeah.
I'm sort of the Cipher of Pete.
Well done. Well done, sir.
It's not an easy. My brain is clogged most of the time.
Cool. Guys, isn't Loki about to run for president?
Loki is running.
I'd let him.
Boothman Prime.
Yeah, very great.
What do you guys coming think about that? Are you Boothman Prime? Are you into
He's got to iron out that citizenship issue first.
Yeah.
Is that a pun?
No, iron you out? Have to be an American citizen to
iron out for. Iron Man, iron out. No. Oh, I thought it was clever.
You're going to vote for Loki, Boothman?
What I've been more interested in is that they've been slowly kind of hinting that they've been slowly kind of putting it into different comics in the Marvel Universe that Loki's going to run. There's been tiny little hints, if you look closely, in the all-new, all-different Marvel stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That he's popping up.
On the bottom
yeah,
of certain pages,
slogans.
There's a
yeah.
little Loki script.
Yeah, it's pretty low-key.
Oh!
Alex is
oh,
going to
no,
run
he didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex gets too excited, and he often just
wow.
runs away.
He hasn't had anything
he's
to drink,
little,
has he?
Oh, look at that. He's coming. Oh!
He did a full lap.
He ran outside the theater.
Well, I did. I got to close. Oh, they're going to close the door for me.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Cool. We got one more.
One more question?
Sure, why not?
Who's got a question? Anybody in the crowd?
In the front. I think the gentleman in the front.
Sir, in the front. All right. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, my name is Jordan.
Hi, Jordan.
Hi, Jordan.
My question is, what is the ultimate example of true love in comic books?
Oh, interesting.
Well, wait, what? What's that about? What's the finger about?
We got in a fight on Facebook about this.
Surely let's bring up any Facebook fights you've
had. Yeah.
Because that's got to be something important. Yeah.
It's got to be either Lois and Clark or Peter and Mary
MJ.
Jane, right?
Thank you.
Peter and Gwen Stacy could also be considered a true love.
But that was too brief.
You're making
too
me
brief to be true love?
You're making me relive 2009.
Have you ever read a little play called Romeo and Juliet? They knew each other for like months.
What's that?
It was too sad for you?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of it.
Oh, you've never heard of Romeo and Juliet?
No, never.
Okay, cool. Well, keep drinking.
Nice comeback.
I got it. So to continue the argument you had with Jordan, which was Peter Parker, is his true love Mary Jane?
Right, which is true.
Or Gwen Stacy.
Which is untrue.
Which, according to Dennis, was too short.
It's like the CBR message boards have come to life.
Everyone's sensitive about CBR.
Mary Jane is a true and lasting love.
Thank you, yes.
Would Peter have given up his relationship with Gwen Stacy to the devil for Aunt May? Because we know he gave up. Would anyone give up their true love just to keep their aunt alive?
Well, you have to believe in true love in the first place.
Dennis, we can't get into your personal issues. We're just talking about these fictional characters.
I'm going to say Batman and Superman.
I think it's Superman and Lois. I think that in comics, Superman is the romantic lead of comics.
It's very funny to me examples.
But the question was about true love. But so is it really can be true love if he spends all of his time concealing his true identity from her? Ooh.
But then he stopped. He married her.
I gotta say, we're talking about
a while they get married.
You're talking about true love.
Current
Peter, Mary Jane.
All these characters are not with those people in current continuity.
Is that true? Not Superman? Lois Lane?
Superman most recently dated Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, yeah.
And Peter is married to his job currently.
I got to be honest. I've tried very hard. I have no idea what's going on with the DC Rebirth stuff. But isn't he getting back together with Lois, but also not? The pre-New 52 Superman and his wife are in continuity.
But at the same time, though, isn't it like a dual
At the
continuity?
Same time as Superman's missing and some other stuff?
So basically, you want to see Superman married, or do you want to see Superman fucking around? And you can decide which
one. I want to see Superman chasing Lois.
What does that mean? What do you mean by that?
Harassing her and pursuing her down the street. Protection order on Superman.
10-year-old me would have said Vision of the Scarlet Witch. That was
That's very interesting.
Two complete retards in love.
A couple that's totally been broken up.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Honestly, it's funny you say that.
Nope.
It's funny you say that.
Reed is a dick to Sue on the
regular.
We are
all fucking nerds.
That is not true love.
It is funny you say that, Jordan, because all my life I felt like Reed is a not to agree with Pete.
We are all fucking nerds.
Justin, you say Vision Scarlet Witch?
I think Reed has there's been this ongoing storyline, and it's sort of the way they relate to each other, where Sue's like, aren't you nice to me? And he's like, science. And like that's the baseline of their relationship.
That's right.
And I think that's
things to do, baby.
When all the flashback are like when we see like Sue and Namor together, it's like this passionate, intense relationship.
But she doesn't stay with him because she wants the guy that's like up. You know, he's got stuff going on.
Wait, what do you mean by stuff going on? Science?
He's got science going on. And she's like, I can be with this guy who's completely into me and totally passionate, or this guy that half ignores me because he's got stuff going on. So I'll go with this guy.
You're saying she likes Reed because he's busy?
He's busy.
okay.
I also thought...
I identified that.
Yeah. Midnighter in Apollo was true love.
Great.
That was a great relationship.
Absolutely.
And that was... I don't know where that... Because that relationship is ended because of the series, though, right?
Right.
Because of the Universal splits.
Oh, they're not together anymore? I don't like that.
Well, Midnighter's in the DC universe and Apollo's...
What?
No, really. Apollo's in there.
They are.
Yeah. Aww, see, I don't read that. That's sweet. I like that.
They're married.
No, they're not married. Midnighter, something happened to the past. There was a recent issue, which I haven't read yet. But something happened to the past where they broke up. And now they're not together.
Damn. God, we are such dorks.
See, I feel like continuity got in the way of their relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. As it does with all relationships.
Wolverine and Jean Grey? That's a triangle. That's classic for sure.
Yeah, but I think he's saying is Wolverine and Jean Grey. Cyclops.
Listen, I give it to you, but Cyclops is still up in there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, gross.
Yo,
okay. Before we wrap up.
Wait. Up in the guts. That's right.
Dennis,
we knew what you meant.
No one wants to hear it.
Can say that. Why can't I? That's not fair.
You can say it if you want. But.
You have a 6-year-old who tried to indoctrinate into communism. Calm down. Okay, real quick before we go. This
communism.
We had a question from Facebook for you, Fred.
Okay.
So it was actually two questions from a guy named Chad Terry wrote us on Facebook. Interestingly, he's not necessarily familiar with your comic work. He's familiar with your playwriting work.
Okay.
So he was wondering first... From your comic book work, what's your favorite comic that you've written that you would recommend you check out?
X-Men Noir.
X-Men Noir is very good. If he likes the play he's referring to is King Kirby, which is a play about Jack Kirby that my wife, the player Crystal Stillman,
a wonderful,
did.
A wonderful
play. And if
there's
anyone listening to this in Calgary, Alberta, it opens in Calgary next week, I think, maybe 2 weeks.
Very cool.
So that's awesome. So if you like King... I mean, I would also check out Archer and Armstrong from Valiant. That's got a lot of sort of Kirby-esque elements in it.
Wait,
and I guess Incredible Hercules is also very Kirby.
Yeah, I was going to say that for
He's
you.
Using the classic Kirby design of Hercules starred in that.
And his second question, he said, his playwriting work with his wife on Kirby is great. I'm a big fan of her other work as well. Do you like one style of writing, playwriting versus comic writing, over the other, or are they pretty similar?
They're not similar at all. I mean, partly just because in... comic book writing, obviously, you're collaborating with artists. While playwriting, you're in a room collaborating with actors, particularly on the first production. And I found them both incredibly satisfying. I could not imagine. I'm kind of like I got into writing to avoid human contact. So going into rehearsal kind of self-destructs that or counteracts that. So I probably my natural tendencies would lean towards comic book writing or novel writing or anything like that. But I do like it. I started out really liking the performing arts in school, and I studied in college. And so that was a super fun thing. And Chris and I are working on stuff now that hopefully will see the light of day.
Right. Awesome.
Very cool. And that's it for your audience questions.
Yay!
All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah, we do.
And
we have so much to talk about.
We do have so much to talk about. Well, one thing in particular to talk about in the Week in Geek, the Walking Dead finale happened.
Yeah, I have not seen that.
Did you guys watch Walking Dead?
No.
I did not. I watched the first Mets game of the season, which sounds like it was as painful for me as it was for you guys.
Yeah, they're pretty dead,
I think you got beaten to death
in the
Mets game.
That was me, the baseball bat.
Well, they both involve bats, so there you go. What'd you guys think? It sounds like you guys were disappointed with the finale. Definitely a lot of people online were disappointed with how it ended.
I was not disappointed.
What?
I found the episode to be... I feel like it was a little... it could have been shorter.
Sure,
I don't know if we needed that full 90 minutes of just them driving around being like, can't go this way.
Right. But what I heard someone say,
I don't know the map they're looking at.
It's like driving in Manhattan.
Yeah. It really was. It was like can't park
streets against us. Yeah. So.
Can I, just to give a little background for those of you
I take Whitestone Bridge.
So this has been the buildup of Rick's group versus the Savers, led by Negan, who we just meet in this episode, played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Who is amazing.
Yes,
who is
amazing. Rick's group has killed a ton of the Savers.
So many.
Ridiculous.
Honestly,
amount.
The number of white men employed by this show is insane.
Yeah, to the point that the sub leader under Negan... this episode was like the most porn stashy guy of all time. It was amazing. Yeah. He was like, I'm a white guy. I was bought at white guy place. It was great. But
it's a great city.
So yeah. So what this episode is, they're trying to get Maggie, who is pregnant, has gotten sick, is not doing that well. They're trying to get her to a doctor. Right. But every single time they go someplace, they're blocked by Negan's group in different ways until finally they're trapped. And we get to this moment that comic book fans know very well from issue 100, where everybody's lined up. Negan introduces himself, takes out his deadly baseball bat, Lucille, and beats somebody to death. But you liked it, and
I thought the end scene where Negan is great. Like in the show, the actor I thought did a great job portraying Negan. It felt like straight from the comic books, and I was like, a dude who walks out in a leather jacket with a baseball bat and is super cool. I was like, harder to do on television. Right. He sounds like if a Grease character was like, what if I hold this toy?
Yeah.
I'm Fonzie.
Yeah. And but I thought
Fonzie is not in Grease. Come on.
No, he's another character with a leather jacket.
Okay, fine. Hey.
great. Glad we got you back on board with the Fonzie continuity. What I'm saying, and I thought the way the last moment was shot was great, was super terrifying.
Fuck
and,
you.
And I got to say...
Whoa!
That's not a criticism.
I love that you guys are surprised by Pete saying that. Okay, we'll talk about who we think maybe was killed in a minute, but Pete... What do you mean?
Okay.
When you say fuck you, what do you mean?
Yeah, all right. So first off, like, this whole episode was very frustrating because
I can tell you're frustrated because you're like, you're just, everything is just centered.
Dennis, I'm the interpreter.
I apologize.
I actually just mentioned, because those listening at home may not know, Pete is so angry his beard is actually standing straight out.
Right? Yeah. It just
popped out of his face.
Exactly. So... it was like the writers were like, hey, guys, you know who we hate? Carol. Let's have a ridiculous thing where she just decides to walk away, and then everybody else makes horrible decisions around that. And then she just has a horrible thing where she's like badass 1 minute and then just crying another minute sitting in a corner like... all of a sudden, right by this house, like, what the fuck?
I agree with you.
This does sound like the Mets game.
You just described my ex-wife.
Found that that part of it to be frustrating to watch, but I think the point of this episode was to have
the lineup.
The strongest characters in The Walking Dead, Rick and Carol, be completely broken down at the end of the season.
And I got tired of Rick with that same stupid, like, he looked like the guy in Punch-Out who just kept getting hit. He's like, Rick! Hello.
He sweats from his face reference. More than any other human.
It was just ridiculous. So, first off, Negan, that guy is a badass actor. He is amazing. He killed it as a comedian. But I
love
read the
movie.
Comics, and I know who Negan is, and that was not Negan.
Really?
He was not swearing. He was not.
He was not swearing. That's not his fault. It's the network. You can't swear.
Well, fucking do something else. Make another badass choice. He was way too well put together, way too calm, way too present.
He
wasn't talking to the bat. He wasn't doing like really.
Wait a second.
Shit.
You said your biggest criticism.
This guy has just turned completely red.
He wasn't talking to the bat?
Yeah, like he has this fucked up relationship with Lucille. He like treats it like a person. It treats it like it has a part in the conversation. Like it's a part of everything that's going down. And like this, they just ignored all that shit and also made him a watered down Fonzie guy who's like, hey guys, let's talk a little bit.
Why are you guys slamming on Fonzie? Talk. What the fuck?
You know the real Fonzie over there? Relax.
It's a zombie apocalypse, and he's got a pristine leather jacket.
Fonzie is a zombie? I don't like this.
He's like the king of all of these people.
Right.
Yeah. They keep his jacket clean.
Hey.
What do you think happens in a zombie apocalypse? The zombies go for the leather jackets first?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it was like at this point, at this
well,
late
no people
in the
around.
Zombie
it's
apocalypse.
Flesh.
Right? It's just still the jackets.
Anyways, I just felt like it was... not the character that we were all like, holy shit, fucking Negan's coming. And it was just like a very calm version of a guy.
I disagree.
And then the whole fucking time, we're like, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? We still don't fucking know. Now
I think that's great. That's tension.
Yeah. No, that is not great.
I love your passion. I love it. I really do. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Great. I see your points, but I'm glad to hear you say that because I agree with you, Justin.
You don't.
Oh!
Yeah, no, we're going to find out in like.
like six.
Yeah,
months.
No,
I don't want to wait that long.
Here's the thing. Live I like the episode because the point, like you said, was it was all about cutting off all of Rick's options. They made some stupid decisions to get there, but Rick has been so cocky. He's taken down these saviors so easily and literally cutting off every single road, every single option they had one after the other until they're drawn into the center and taken down was great. And the point that they made, they talked about this on Talking Dead. Scott Gimple, the executive producer, talked about this. He said, we didn't show it because that wasn't the point. If you show who gets killed, then it all becomes about the person who gets killed versus it's about Rick and Rick losing completely.
And to a second degree,
no, but that's
Carol.
Bullshit.
Because they're going to show
that's
it
bullshit.
Also.
That's about, no, it's about, come on. It's like, we want to keep you waiting until next season
but
to
what's,
who gets killed.
You guys work in
this
comics. What's new about cliffhangers?
No, wait a minute. I'm not casting aspersions on the instinct. That's that's fine. I'm casting aspersions on the disingenuousness.
No,
saying
they said
it's about
both.
The other
they
characters.
Said both.
No, it's, no, it's,
they said that
it could be
it was
both.
About
it,
the story.
Both, but this is about, look, TV is all about, TV is about making you want to watch the next episode. That's right. All
just like
TV is
any
about.
Sort of episodic content,
yeah,
specifically comic books. And I mean, Scott Gimple on Talking Dead also made the point, like when we saw the hatch open on Lost but didn't find out what was inside, like that was an amazing moment. It lets we all talk about it for as much as we
but
want.
That, but
we
that's
so much time to talk about
it. It's an interesting point. When you have a show like Lost where everything is
a smoke monster,
is directed at making you want to watch the next episode. But when it's all over and you look back and you go, well, that all didn't make a lot of sense. Is the experience, and then this is a genuine question for all of you. Is the experience, thank you, is the experience.
Line up for a mic.
Is the experience of watching it and wanting to know what's next more important than at the end when you look back and you go, well, none of that made any sense? What's more important to you?
I think the first one, because one of the greatest joys I had watching Lost was watching it week to week and then talking about it nonstop for the rest of the week.
Yeah, I want to hear their story and then have time to think about it on my terms and then be like, are you a fan of this? Let's talk about it. That's what being a fan is, is being having the space between...
But you don't know what to talk about.
Having the space between content to talk about it and be like, oh, that's so cool. What do you think? And Pete's like, oh, fuck you. And I'm like, okay, bye.
Here's the thing.
So do you not like the Netflix model where they release 10 to 12 episodes at the same time?
I like it less because I'll tell you what, because of that... to Daredevil season 2, we talked about it once, and that's it.
Yeah,
and like,
because
it's over. Like, and like, we probably have. I haven't finished watching it. Pete has. Alex maybe has. I don't know about anybody here.
I finished it weeks ago.
Not yet.
Great. Yeah. Super cool. Lie.
All right. Show off.
Serious lie.
It's not.
But everyone watches it in their. It's a very personal experience. But you don't get the fan experience where you can be like, well, how crazy was that? And it's like, yes, I just saw that because it's a shared experience.
And on very specifically talking about Walking Dead, if they showed us Daryl dying, then the only thing we'd be talking about is Daryl died. What did you think about the moment when Daryl died rather than the rest of the episode?
At least we would know so we could know what to fucking talk about.
Yeah, but it's not the news.
Well, now we're just
it's
talking about like, hey man, was that
that's the quote for the night. It's not the news.
It's not the news. You find out when the storyteller wants you to know.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Real quick, because we're going to run out of time. Pete, who died?
I don't know.
Predict.
I don't fucking know, and I want to know.
Make a
prediction.
I love this.
I don't want to talk about it until I know.
Make a prediction.
What? No.
You refuse
to make a prediction? If the writer's not making a choice, why the fuck do I got to make a choice?
You don't have to. Wow.
If he's phoning it, I'm phoning it.
Great. You're going to be a real fun podcast host for the next 6 months. you're refusing to make a
prediction.
Yes. I think we got it. I think realistically it'll be Abraham.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, because he's stuck in...
Hey, no decision was made by you. If the writers aren't talking, then neither's Pete.
He clearly... he was like, fucking take me. And he was like, I'm not taking you because you stuck your neck out.
I thought the writers haven't spoken. Pete, what are you opening your mouth about?
I'm just saying it's clearly not him.
You'll only say who it's not. You only say
I don't
who it's
know.
Not.
I just.
Oh,
I
you don't
was,
know. Oh,
thought,
you don't know.
I
you
thought
don't
it was
know.
Clear. I thought
oh, you
that
don't
was
know.
Clear.
Wait, okay, cool.
No. Let's try this out. So it's definitely not Abraham, but you're not making a choice.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's Rick.
I don't know.
It's definitely not fucking Rick.
Yeah, why do you know that?
Because you don't before know that. He because he kills the guy, he's like,
he looks
hey,
like he's done.
No,
he looks like
no,
he's done.
Negan says, hey, if anybody screams, feed the boy's other eyeball to his father.
Yeah.
If he's hitting him with a bat, he's gonna have a hard time feeding
what?
Him
wait,
an eyeball.
What? Eyeballs?
Dennis, so you're not watching
so it's
the
not
show.
Rick, then.
What?
Then it's not Rick.
No, it's not Rick. It's not Carl. We know that for sure.
Yeah, I think Michonne.
Do you fuck really?
I think Michonne.
No.
Wait, what?
Not Michonne either.
Can I jump in here? I mean, based on what, I mean, having not seen the episode, based on the way you guys described it, I think there's only one logical choice. It's the pregnant chick that would cause them the
Maggie.
Most pain.
Yeah.
Because they were the one, she's the one they were trying to get.
Interesting. Oh. That's an interesting.
Fuck that bitch.
What?
So what's her name? Maggie?
What?
Maggie.
Wait, who was it in the comic?
He just figured out he's never seen the show.
It was Glenn.
He just figured out.
I listening to you guys. Yeah. I mean,
as a professional, right
actually,
there.
Actually, Fred. Oh, by the way, I forgot to plug this earlier. Episode 2 of the Michonne Telltale Games thing dropped this week, and I
that
wrote
great...
on that, so go get that.
Oh, that's cool.
I wrote that was
we
a great
squeezed
pitch.
That plug in. Yeah, sorry.
Well
audience,
done.
Audience members, on the count of three, anyone who's watching the show, on the count of three, shout out who you think the dead person is. Ready? Wait, just wait. I said three.
Wait, goddammit.
I said three. Okay.
What's wrong with you?
Let's hold up our mics also. So
yeah, exactly. Ready?
That guy
one,
said,
two, three.
The baby.
Okay. Your
that
mom.
Was,
fuck
that
you.
Was a failed experiment. the so baby. Someone's
your
baby
mom.
Or maybe
shit.
My mom.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Cool, okay.
Oh. I am so glad. I am so glad you didn't have a microphone and nobody could hear that.
I can't believe there's someone with a worse
What's
answer
happening?
Than Pete.
There we go. Speaking of Pete, I think let's turn it over to Pete for our next section real quick. Trivia!
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, this is where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? Yes, you first hand up guy.
All right,
come on down.
Wait a second. Was this the guy who made that joke that we didn't record?
Yeah, this is the guy
who got punched in the stomach and lost their baby.
Right. What is your name, sir?
EJ.
EJ, audience, EJ.
Hi, EJ.
All right. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, and you will get $25 free. All right. So today's trivia is on comics that came out this week. Spoilers are included for those listening at home and who are going to be mad at me. Question number one. In Daredevil number 5, which I really enjoyed, Daredevil takes on a giant ninja bad guy called a blank. Is it A, a fist, B, a foot, or is it C, a knuckle sandwich? So it's either A, which is correct, because the ninjas are part of the hand, and then a fist, you get it? Okay. Which one do you think it is?
I'm going to guess A.
A is correct. Way to listen.
You didn't even give him the other.
He is listening. In Conan, the Avenger number 24,
woo!
Very well written and beautifully drawn. It
Whatever.
Has a prisoner being tortured by being shown what? Is it A, a dead bird? B, a man's decapitated head? Or is it C, a sandwich that the prisoner can only smell but not eat? So it's either A, a dead bird, or it's B, a decapitated head.
Could we see?
I was going to guess the decapitated head.
Nice job. Nice. That is correct. Yeah. Here we go. Last one. In Saga number 35, we all know it's amazing. we see Lion Cat looking like a blank. Is it A, a king, B, a dog, or is it C, a sandwich artist? So it's either A king, or don't pick B.
I'm going to pick A.
All right,
a
congratulations. Nice. $25 free
are Thank
yours,
you very
sir.
Much.
Congratulations.
Woo!
Great
All
job.
Right, guys.
Wait. Oh, that's right.
You're going to get a sketch cover. There
Look
you go.
At that.
Which oh, someone cool. could sketch. I don't know who would do that.
Yeah, maybe
but
go
some
see,
guy.
See Dennis after the show. There you go.
Woo!
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we all know tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm really looking forward to Black Panther number 1. I'm very excited. They've been talking about this. I have very high hopes for it.
Yeah. What about you, Justin?
That is my pick as well. Ta-Nehisi Coates taking over Black Panther. I've heard it's amazing. Very excited to see what it is.
Oh, yeah. You've already heard it's amazing?
There was
a bunch of advanced reviews.
Oh.
Sounds really
have
good.
Have you read it already?
I have not. I'm looking forward to Poe Dameron, number one, is coming out tomorrow. Yeah. Great looking book. There's also apparently a BB-8 backup story, which is super exciting.
Man.
Can't wait to read that. What are you looking forward to, Fred?
It all looks good. That's just a big list of goodness you showed me on the iPad. It's
amazing. That's great. Dennis, what about you?
The Latino X-Wing fighter, Poe Dameron, what's up?
There you
all right,
go.
Thank you, motherfuckers.
Always
fuck you.
Here during the show.
Always remember.
And before real quick, before really we plug other stuff, Assassin's Creed, Templar, Black Cross, whatever it's called.
Right.
One is on stands now.
Yeah, and two will be out in a couple weeks.
All right, there we go.
Totally
definitely check that out. Anything we want to plug before we go, Pete?
Yes, friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the
show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
And check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Also, it's a free show, but we do put a little bit of money into the show. So if you'd like to if you're here in the theater, like to donate a little money into that hat over there, that would be great. Or if you want to head to our virtual hat, gofundme.com/comicbookclublive. That would be much appreciated as well. Helps keep the show going. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Fred for being on the show.
Yeah.
Dennis.
Yeah.
Woo.
Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We are every Tuesday night at 7:30 at the Pit Loft in New York City. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night, everybody.